you said small, right?
It's to go, yeah.
Small vanilla extract latte?
Yes, with Linda. I'll throw it in for you. With almond milk.
It's morning and I need a cup of coffee, so I head to Rue's Roast, a coffee shop in Southtown Ann Arbor. The coffee here isn't cheap, but today I can give myself green points for remembering my travel mug.
So you get 25 cents off for using your own mug.
A big part of the eco footprint of any beverage is its container. Starbucks says their customers throw out 4 billion cups each year. That's a lot of resources wasted. But what about the coffee that's in my cup? I ask for a peek behind the scenes.
Now it's going to draw the beans up to the top.
Owners Kathy Wider and John Roos proudly show me their new Loring roaster. They tell me it's 80% more efficient than their previous roaster.
They completely rethought how you roast coffee with this machine. It's very innovative, actually. It's an investment. I mean, it's not the cheapest way to go here.
So it saves energy, and they say it doesn't pollute the air like their old roaster either.
Some people love the smell of the smoke, and they miss it. But
what do you do with this?
This is chaff. It's kind of a skin that is naturally on the outside of all the beans.
That's head roaster Grant Stewart. He says their old roaster burned off the chaff, but now it's collected and coveted by area gardeners.
Which is like really good for making soil a little bit loamier.
Okay, so by paying more, coffee can be roasted sustainably here in Michigan. What about how the coffee is grown way down in the tropics? That's the expertise of Dr. Yvette Perfecto of the University of Michigan, who shares a cup with me at the Northside Grill in Ann Arbor.
Could I get you guys some more coffee?
She's one of the first to study the ecosystem impacts of coffee.
I was in Costa Rica in the 1980s when a big transformation was occurring. They were converting a lot of their shaded plantations into coffee monocultures and eliminating all the shade trees.
With chemical inputs and nothing but row upon row of coffee, these new sun coffee plantations grow more coffee faster. So now the inexpensive big brand coffee is all sun grown, while traditional shade grown has shrunk to only a quarter of coffee acreage worldwide.
We basically documented very dramatic loss of biodiversity with the transformation of the coffee plantation, with the intensification of coffee.
Dr. Perfecto says when farmers grow a diversity of trees above their coffee plants, a multitude of different insects and wildlife thrive. Preserving the trees becomes critical as forest is rapidly being cut down for sun coffee and cattle pastures.
When you have a landscape that is that has been deforested, in many cases, the shaded coffee plantations are basically the only forested habitats that are left.
Why should we care about ecosystems in the tropics? For one thing, there's a coffee-killing fungus called coffee rust that's spreading and could hike the price of our cup of joe.
Our work is focusing on trying to understand the ecology of the coffee rust, trying to understand what are some of the natural enemies that can potentially control this disease.
And the connection to the birds singing as we sip our morning java? 200 species of North American songbirds rely on shade coffee plantations. That's where they winter, feasting on bugs in the canopy. We discuss a coffee certification called Bird Friendly.
And so when you see this kind of seal, this tells you basically that this coffee comes from a farm that was certified by the Smithsonian.
Although other coffees may include some shade grown, with this seal it's 100%. The stringent guidelines require stream buffers, leaf litter, a minimum 40% shade, and more.
And first, it is organic, and second, it has a very high diversity of shade trees and a lot of different kinds of trees that are beneficial for the birds.
She says organic leaves natural processes intact which benefit the farm. For instance, shade and mulch suppress weeds, birds and lizards control the bugs, and water quality is preserved. In sun coffee monocultures, when it rains,
A lot of those pesticides end up in the river systems. A lot of the fertilizers end up in the river system.
Dr. Perfecto says the roots of shade trees can reduce landslides, and the variety provides additional cash crops for farmers, so critical when coffee prices plunge. In fact, she says the benefits of bird-friendly go far beyond birds.
By basically having all these criteria, you create a very ecological habitat that benefit other organisms and the farm itself, you know, the production. Birds, of course, have an appeal to a lot of people, and so they're great for raising the consciousness of people about what's going on.
So here again, birds are canaries in the coal mine, signaling problems beyond their own demise. Wildlife ecologist Dr. Douglas Tallamy is chair of entomology at the University of Delaware. He's studying the crucial importance of native shade trees within coffee plantations. So which birds are most threatened?
Three species that people focus on: the cerulean warbler, the golden-winged warbler, and the Canada warbler.
But he says there's hundreds more at risk.
You know, the whole Endangered Species Act has given us the idea that the only time we have to worry is when something's on the Endangered Species Act. And that means it has reached a critical state of decline where it's almost impossible to recover. So we have to be concerned about every species that whose population is declining. And right now we have 50% fewer songbirds than we had 40 years ago.
Half as many songbirds in only four decades? He says there are many reasons for the plummeting numbers.
Cats are killing 3 billion birds a year, and they're banging into windows. All kinds of things are happening. But their overwintering habitat is extremely important. It's all about food.
And that food is insects, those that feed on the dwindling number of native trees left standing in shade coffee plantations.
Sun coffee provides nothing for the birds, absolutely nothing.
Northside Grill owner Jim Coley says they don't serve shade-grown coffee, but might if enough people ask for it.
We here at Northside kind of push our supplier. We made them bring on cage-free eggs. We made them do a number of things which is appropriate for our business and our market.
But it's not easy. Because it takes so much more labor, shade-grown can be up to two-thirds more expensive.
And again, we're not a coffee shop, so we're not going to go through the huge volume that might be necessary if we diversify more.
Warm up on your coffee.
There's a joke that the world's largest coffee consumer is the sink. In a sense, that's eco impacts down the drain. But this may be changing. Back at Rue's Roast, Wider and I discuss a trend to pay more, savor it, and waste less. She tells me about the third wave coffee movement.
It's about sort of honoring the bean and moving more towards a wine model for beans. So that's why you start to get fancy. You have these coffee tastings. It's like, oh, it tastes like bacon-wrapped dates with a hint of lavender, coated pecans, and, orange zest, right?
Obviously, there's folks out there who will pay more for taste. Will some pay more to green up the planet, too? Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.